Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Thank you for refraining from drinking beverages or anything like that. We really appreciate that. God is good and worthy to be praised. On this Sunday of worship, it is a great joy to be having Bill Drabing and Greg Geis leading us with worship alongside Susan Snow. And it is a real treat this morning to have the Bell Choir leading us in some songs of praise and some songs of worship this morning. It'll be wonderful to hear you play this morning. Let us now turn our hearts and minds to a spirit of worship. I would invite you to turn to the screens as we praise God together.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Omniscient God, you know even what is hidden deep in our hearts. Show us what we can give of ourselves to grow your kingdom on earth. Raise us up to be generous and loving in your name. Give us courage to commit ourselves fully to you. Let us know the joy of living a generous life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hello. Happy Sunday, everybody. My name is Bailey, and I am the Children and Student Ministries Director here at First United Methodist Church, Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Hello to everyone joining us online. This is a time for our young Christians, but it's also a time for all of us because we're all young at heart, right? Today, I know I look a little silly today. For those of you who don't recognize that, I'm dressed as Rey from Star Wars because I love Star Wars. And I'm dressed up because today is Trunk or Treat. And I just wanted to say, we've been talking about gratitude and how that leads us to generosity. And I am so grateful to our whole church family for coming together and helping to put together 250 bags to give away of candy to kids, the little candy and trinkets. Let's celebrate that. That's awesome. Yes, I'm so excited. 250 kids, and that is such a huge outreach number. Like, that is reaching out to the people of our community here in Brighton and in Whitmore Lake. That is just amazing. I'm so, so grateful. And it just shows how truly generous you all are. We made that happen together, and I'm just so excited for Trunk or Treat today. And I wanted to share just a little bit about generosity. And so I wanted to celebrate that, but encourage you as well as we're thinking about, you know, being generous. If we have any of these bags left over, because, you know, who knows how many people are registered. I based it off of the number registered, but you just never know right now. And if we have any that are left, I would love to give them away to some of our kids to take home, to give away to their friends who might not have been able to make it, who maybe didn't feel safe coming out to make it, and just to be able to encourage them to be generous as well. So if you're coming today and you want to get an extra bag for someone that you know at home wasn't able to make it out or didn't feel safe, please contact me about that because I would love to make sure that they get something special as well. Halloween is really fun. I remember as a kid, I loved dressing up. I loved doing all of those things. And so just being able to share that special moment with them this year, I think is going to be awesome. So let's give some praise and glory to God for how amazing it is that we're going to outreach to all those kids today. God, thank you so much for the generosity in this church, God, and I just pray that as we move forward, that we would continue with this theme of generosity throughout this holiday season that is coming up quickly, God. Today we get to be excited about candy and giving things away and seeing all those kids, and as we move forward into this coming holiday season, I just pray that our theme of generosity would continue as we participate in things like Gifts of Hope and give presents to foster children in our area. God, thank you so much. I celebrate all of the wonderful things that you're doing here, and we thank you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Corinthians 2nd chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bill, for reading the scripture lesson for us this morning. Will you please pray with me? Oh, holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and this time to come to praise and to worship you. I give you thanks for the beauty of music, for the melodies of the bells. I give you thanks for an opportunity to gather with church family and friends, whether we are physically in the building or our hearts are connected across electronic devices. God, I give you thanks. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our redeemer. And all of God's children said, amen, amen. Well, a few weeks ago, I was in a local store doing a little bit of shopping, picking up a couple of things, and I was walking down the aisles, and I looked over, and I thought, no way. It's out already. The Christmas trees were out. The lights were out. You could buy Christmas wreaths. There were holiday decorations. Everything you needed for Christmas, as I walked down the aisle and looked, I could not believe it. It was about the first week of October, and Christmas decorations were already out and sale for purchase. I could hardly believe it. Well, with all of the Christmas things just around the corner when I was shopping, it got me thinking about and remembering a classic Christmas story. Do you remember A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens? Did you read that? Did you watch that? Are you familiar with that musical? It's a great show. The musical, it's about Ebenezer Scrooge. He's this mean-spirited man. He's greedy, he's wealthy. Quite frankly, he's just kind of a jerk, and he loves to say, bah, humbug. Do you remember that? Well, when the musical gets started, we meet Scrooge at his office in London, and it's Christmas Eve, and the room is very chilly because he refuses to pay for the price of coal to have the room heated. And that evening, as Scrooge is sitting there in his office working on Christmas Eve, he receives an invitation from his nephew to join the family for dinner, which he declines. Then he gets a request for donations to help out the poor with meals and heating, which he also refuses. And then very, very begrudgingly, he finally lets his clerk, Bob Cratchit, his co-worker, Bob Cratchit, go home for the evening, and he finally lets him off for Christmas Day. He's not very happy about it. And right away, as the musical gets started, we see that Scrooge is cast as this miserable, greedy old man who counts every single penny and is anything. He is anything but generous. Well, as Ebenezer Scrooge goes to bed that evening, he settles into his bed, if you might recall this, the ghost of Jacob Marley visits him. Now, Jacob Marley was a former colleague. Jacob Marley died 7 years earlier, and he was cursed to walk the earth carrying heavy chains with him because of his selfish, greedy old ways. And Ebenezer Scrooge will be then cursed to follow in Jacob Marley's shoes if he doesn't get things changed up rather quickly. Well, that evening, Marley tells Scrooge that he's going to be visited by three ghosts over the course of three evenings: the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. So that first evening, Scrooge settles into bed. He starts to get bundled up into his sheets, and all of a sudden, the ghost of Christmas past comes to visit him, whooshes him off to see his childhood. As he's viewing onto the scene, he sees the young Scrooge before him. Then he goes, gets a little bit older, and he sees the woman to whom he was engaged, but she ended the relationship because Scrooge cared more about money than her or others. The second evening, the ghost of Christmas present comes, takes Scrooge to his co-worker Bob Cratchit's house, where he looks into the window and he sees them having a very simple feast. He also meets and sees Bob Cratchit's son there in the window, Tiny Tim. Do you remember him? He walked with a crutch because he had a physical limitation. Scrooge learned that Tiny Tim might pass unless the events in his life changed quickly. That third night, the ghost of Christmas Future visited him, taking him off, and this time he viewed the Cratchit family as they were mourning the loss of Tiny Tim, and the community around was actually celebrating the death of another person, and Scrooge pleaded with the ghost to know who on earth were they actually celebrating this man's loss. When Scrooge looked at the tombstone and discovered it was his own name on it, because he was such a Scrooge-like man, such an unforgiving creditor. Well, pleading with the ghost, and taking this warning seriously, Scrooge awakens on Christmas morning with tremendous thanksgiving in his heart. Having learned his lessons, Scrooge has this transformation of heart, and he has a real transformation of mind, and he becomes this most loving and generous man. He wishes the Cratchit family well. He sends over a feast for them to enjoy. He accepts the invitation of his nephews to join them for dinner. And Scrooge changes his ways from greedy to giving. This story of Ebenezer Scrooge is this Christmas classic. From greedy to giving, he becomes a man who starts living with joy and starts living a generous life. His life was transformed. He would never be the same again. Ebenezer Scrooge reminds me of another Bible character, another character in the Bible, who also experienced a real transformation of the heart. This man's heart was transformed by Jesus. This person I want to tell you about today is a man named Zacchaeus. Now, if you went to Bible school as a child, if you went to vacation Bible school or Sunday school, you might know a little tune about Zacchaeus, a little old man who climbed the tree. I'd invite you to hear the scripture this morning as I read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is the story of Zacchaeus and how his heart was transformed. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it, and a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was rich. And he was trying to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So Zacchaeus, he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to be passing by that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come on down, for I must stay at your house tonight." So he hurried on down and he was happy to welcome him. But all who saw it began to grumble and they said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I will give half of my possessions, Lord, to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, I will pay them back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came out to seek and to save the lost." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This tax collector, Zacchaeus, he had a reputation of taking more than what was required from people. He had this reputation of taking more that was required and putting it in his own pocket. People knew it, Jesus knew it, and yet that practice remained. And so when Jesus comes through entering Jericho and he approaches Zacchaeus asking that he hop down from the tree, that he go dine at his house, everybody around him was quite surprised. They were quite shocked. You know, why would Jesus seek out a sinner like Zacchaeus to spend some time with? How come Zacchaeus was that lucky man when they all hoped to break bread with Jesus? Well, accepting this invitation and hopping down from the tree, Zacchaeus instantly had this change of heart. He had this change of mind. He committed his ways to correcting those wrongs that he had made. Zacchaeus knew what he needed to do next. He knew that half of his possessions he would give to the poor, and those people that he had cheated, those times that he had taken money and put it in his own back pocket, he was going to pay them back four times as much. Zacchaeus was having a change of heart. He was correcting those wrongs. He was starting to live a generous life. Like Ebenezer Scrooge, he wanted to live differently. He wanted to change the course, the direction of his life, and turn from that way and start going in a different one after meeting Jesus. Throughout the month of October, you maybe heard Pastor John and I talk about different people in the Bible that were living generous lives. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about the woman who offered her two coins, all that she had, into the offering, into the temple, and into her giving. She was a woman that was generous from the beginning. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't always generous. That's not how he used to always was. But he became this generous person. You know, it's really amazing what happens when we encounter Jesus and we can start experiencing joy like we haven't ever experienced before in our lives. It's amazing how Jesus can transform our hearts as we start to follow him and seek after him. It's amazing how we can start giving joyfully when we realize that all that we have is really God's to begin with. All that we have is really God's to begin with. As I think about this giving, sorry, I'm walking off screen for a second. I'm coming back. Sorry to folks online. All of this giving, talking about Christmas, makes me start to think about presents. The month of October in Pastor John's and in my home, we think about gifts quite a bit because our children have October birthdays. And this time of year, as you walk down the aisles of your local stores, you start to see the wrapping paper and the tinsel, and you start thinking about gifts. I want you to think for a moment, what is the greatest gift that you've ever received? Was it a gift that you got when you were a child or a teenager or a young person? Was it a gift that you received when you were an adult? Was it for your birthday or for Christmas or for Mother's Day? And I also want you to think, as you're thinking about gifts, what is the greatest gift that you've ever given to somebody? What was the occasion in which you gave that great gift? When I think about the greatest gift that I've ever received, it isn't something tangible that can fit in that box. It isn't something that I can wrap up with pretty paper and put a bow on top. It isn't a gift that ends up on my bookshelf or in my kitchen or in the family room or in my desk at church. The greatest gift that I've ever received is the love and the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And that's not a gift that we wrap up with a pretty bow, but it's the grace in God, the grace and the amazing love of God, that's the greatest gift I've ever received. The love of Jesus, the one that shows us how to live lives of compassion, the one that teaches us how to live lives of grace, the one that teaches us how to find hope when things are falling apart and we don't know how to press on. The one that shows us how to be by our side and be our light in the darkness. The one that teaches us to seek mercy and compassion and live for justice. The one that'll never leave us nor forsake us. As people of faith, there's a lot of really great gifts out there. There's a lot of really great gifts out there when we walk the aisles of the stores. A lot of great iPhones and technology and things we can buy, but when I think about the greatest gift I've ever received, it's God's love and grace given for me through Jesus. And I think about, as people of faith, we're invited to share that really great gift with other people as well, to share our stories, to talk about how God has been working in our lives to helping us through hard and challenging times. to share our stories, to encourage one another on. And so when I think about giving in this month of stewardship, when I think about giving and when I think about why I give here to First United Methodist Church in Brighton and in Whitmore Lake, when I think about why I give and why I give here, I give so that people can come to know the amazing love of Jesus. I give so that disciples may continue to be made and transformed, and the world may never be the same. I give so that the church can continue to walk alongside people in hardship. I give of tithes and offerings to the church so that the story of Jesus can be told. I give so that children might learn about God through Vacation Bible School and Sunday School and Young Disciples programs. I give so that our teenagers can be a part of confirmation classes and retreats and mission trips and opportunities to serve here in worship. I give so that babies and young people are baptized and this becomes a place and a home for them to grow that's safe. When we give of our tithes, when we give of our offerings to God through the church, we are in part of doing something incredible. We're a part of providing care for people in the nursing homes or in the hospitals. We're a part of sharing a warm meal or a coat to somebody in need. We're a part of bringing hope through worship and prayer and Bible study and small groups. We're a part of something greater and bigger than ourselves. We're a part about sharing the message of Jesus to the world. And when I think about 2020, what a challenging year it has been, I think more so now than ever, as people of faith, we need to share this encouraging, hope-filled message with the world. So I give to First United Methodist Church here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake so that the whole world might know that how much God loves them and how their lives can be changed for the good. I don't know about you, but this is a message that I need to hear every day. I need to hear a message of God's transforming grace and love for me. I need to hear this amazing message that Jesus welcomes sinners and people that have their lives screwed up like Zacchaeus, because guess what? I'm one of them. Maybe your life is perfect and going so great, but I think it's pretty encouraging to know that even when we're struggling, Jesus reaches out to us, calls us down from that tree, and says, I want to come to your house. I love you, and you're worthy, and I know things aren't going always so great, and life isn't always so perfect, but I care about you. And that's a message that I need to hear each and every day, and I don't know about you, but I hope that's a message you want to share with the world as well. A message that of God being a God of transformation, a God that can work in even in the hearts and the lives of people like Ebenezer Scrooge, where he can go from being self-centered to have a transformation of heart and mind where he starts really thinking about others and thinking about God. If sharing this message of love, of sharing this message of grace is something that's important to you, then I pray that you would continue to faithfully follow in God's footsteps, but I pray that you would also continue to pray. Pray about your giving. Pray about how you might be a part of the ministry here at First United Methodist Church. Lord, where would you like me to be in my giving? Lord, how would you like me to serve? God, how can I make an impact on the world around me? Over the past month, since the beginning of October, Pastor John and I have been inviting you to pray that very prayer. Lord, where would you like me to be in my giving? And today, the last Sunday of our stewardship campaign about living a generous life, today we celebrate that it's the last of our stewardship campaign. And if you haven't already had an opportunity to do so, we would encourage you to fill out your estimate of giving card. It's a little bit different language we're using this year. You're probably more familiar with an invitation to fill out your pledge card. This year, we're inviting you to fill out your estimate of giving. It simply is an estimate of what you might give to God through the church in 2021, realizing that your giving might be able to go up, or it might need to go down at some point in time. It's simply an estimate. If you haven't had an opportunity when you entered the doors of the church, through the main entrance doors of the church, there were estimate of giving cards, and if you need finding one, see one of our ushers or myself, we can help you find one. We know that 2020 has certainly been a challenging year. And it's been a challenging year for many people financially as well. People have experienced job loss or a cutback in hours or a reduction in salary. We know that families and individuals have sometimes been wondering how they're going to pay that next bill or where their next meal might come from. My heart breaks. I know your heart breaks. Pastor John's heart breaks knowing that that's the reality of many in our community. And so that's why I believe now more than ever do I believe that God is calling us to live generous, generous lives. To love God, to love our neighbor, to live generously. So that others might not have to worry so much where the roof, what roof they're going to have over their head or what bill they're going to be able to pay. Now more than ever, God is calling us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. If you've been in a tough financial situation this year, we certainly understand. If this is a year where you're not able to step up your giving, we certainly understand. If this is a year where you're struggling just to maintain what you gave last year, we certainly understand. But if that hasn't been your narrative, if that hasn't been a financial struggle for you this year, then we would encourage you to keep praying. And maybe you're able to step up in your giving. Maybe you're able to go the second mile. Maybe you're able to step up and give even greater and more generously. How might you be a blessing this day? Lord, where would you have me be in my giving? When I think about that story of Scrooge, when I think about the story of Zacchaeus, I think about that they were two men that were on a journey. They were on a journey where they were once focused about themselves and their very own needs. And Zacchaeus, when he met Jesus, he had this change of heart, this change of mind, and he was a man that was never going to be the same. He started living with joy. He started living blessing others. Praise God that God is a God of transformation, that God is a God that never gives up on us, that God is a God that never stops loving us and never stops walking with us. Praise God that God is a God of transformation. May God continue to transform our hearts and minds that each and every day we might love a little bit more like Jesus and seek to be a little bit more like him. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you, Lindsay, for that wonderful message. I am the ghost of Christmas presents, and the first one that I bring you is a story about something that we did recently watching the movie Swiss Family Robinson. If you've seen it, you know that the family is in a terrible storm, very rough seas, and their boat is dashed against the rocks. And they make it to shore, and Dad says, the first thing we got to do is we got to build some shelter, and we've got to get some food. Back up the wagon, Dad. Mom says, the first thing we got to do is pray. And we have to express our gratitude to God for getting us here in not so many words. So prayer is really important, and it's important to note today that we have a prayer quilt for a family that is very much in need of God's prayers. You can see it here. If you would please hold out your hand as we say a couple of words for this family. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence and knowing that you're always on your throne, no matter how rough the seas. And we ask you to please hold up your hands and hold this family and show them your mercy and comfort them as they need it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now, if you would please join me in an attitude of prayer. Awesome God, your goodness, love, and mercy are known throughout the universe. You so love the world that you gave your Son for us to have eternal life. It is our faith in Christ that we can come boldly and confidently into your presence. You are the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Creator of everything. Lord, we are grateful for the wondrous, calming peace of your omnipresence. Without you, 2020 would be like going off-road without shocks to soften the ride. We've been on the COVID coaster using masks to keep the bugs off our face. And it seems too easy to just get bugged about wearing or not wearing the mask. Remind us that we can always ask for help from your Holy Spirit before we act, so others may feel our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. If our faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control didn't show up for the coronavirus, guide us in expressing them through our handling of this presidential election year. Signs dot the landscape, commercials fill the airwaves, and opinions rock social media. Remind us that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, not the political candidates being proclaimed. Thank you for the opportunity to live in a country that had to have been shaped by your divine providence, with a constitution that grants rights to individuals and limits what the government can do. We've been called to live in freedom and need your Holy Spirit to help us avoid our sinful nature so that we can bear good fruit through Jesus Christ and serve one another in love. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to live where we are still able to vote for our leaders, since we should submit to the government, but always be ready to do what is good. Help us find good leaders that serve Christ instead of serving their own interests. Grant us discernment for smooth talking and glowing words that deceive innocent people. Give us strength to not follow desires of our human nature, as the results are very clear. Cheating, greed, lying, self-ambition, and other vices don't advance your kingdom. Help us live as Christians in the Spirit, not trying to become perfect by our own effort, but learning your truths and advancing the kingdom through cheerful giving of our gifts and time. Thank you for sending Jesus to give us hope while teaching us how to live and pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's a joy this morning to invite forward Bill Drabing as he's going to be sharing with us a testimony of why he gives. So let us join me in welcoming Bill to hear his testimony.
Well, good morning. My name is Bill Drabing, and I had my membership transferred to this church in 2001. Like Lindsay said, I was asked to speak about giving to this, why I give to this church, and living a generous life. And to me, it was a two-part question. The first part being, why do I give? Which to me is a very simple one. As part of my membership, I promise to give my prayers, my presence, my offerings, and my service. And there's worship in the giving. It's very simple why you give. The second part is more complex about why I give to this church, but Lindsay made me promise 3.5 minutes, so that's what I have. So the reason I give to this church is not because of what we've done in the past. It's what because we're doing today and tomorrow. It's because we're changing the world. Outside our church, in our complex, you'll see the Vena Dental Clinic. It's pretty easy to see how immediate impact to changing the world that is. Another example is the Gifts for Hope that we do for Christmas presents for foster children. And I lead two ministries having to do with food at this church, but that's not why I see us doing the biggest impact. The biggest impact I see us making in is the people that this church produces. This church produces pastors. This church produces people that go into ministry and do more than just change Brighton. They're changing way beyond these walls. Susie, many of you have children the same age as me. You remember Susie Hutchinson leading the Bible school, and because of your gifts, we had the Bible school. Because of your gifts, we had a place to have the church. Susie got the call into ministry, and she's now at a different church. Bob Miller, another one that was at our church. I remember taking classes with him that, again, because of gifts that we give, we were able to have an adult education. He went into the ministry, and him and Susie are actually the co-pastors at a church in Plymouth. I remember, because of the gifts that we give, going on mission trips and to Spring Hill with Jesse and Brian. And you could just see the Spirit of the Lord working in them at a young age. And Brian Kilpatrick now has gone on and he's a minister at his own church now. Jesse Stark is in ministry at CMU, where she promised me that I had to say, fire up chips. We look at Sue. Sue was involved in going to ASP for years, and Sue was involved in the youth ministry here. Now Sue Petrude is working at CAS in the ministry. Ann Birchmeyer, the past youth leader that we had here, she got the call and has gone into ministry. And then, of course, who can forget our last associate pastor, Bob? Now, I'd been coming here since 2001. I think Bob's been coming here since, in the 80s, I believe, who had led so many programs here, and he got the call while he was in this church because of gifts that we give. We make this church what it is. We are producing people that are going out and changing the world. And I can promise you there are at least two people that are listening to my words right now that in years from now will be saying that they're in the ministry. And it's all because of what this church is doing. And quite simply, I give to this church because the people that we are producing. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on our consideration of gifts. We ask your blessings on the people that this church has produced that have gone out and are changing the world to thousands of people at a time. Dear Lord, where would you have us be in our giving for 2021? We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
As we leave this time of worship, may the love of God be with you. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ surround you and the power of the Holy Spirit fill you. May you go out forth into this world to live glad and generous lives. May you share God's love and grace wherever you go. May you be a beacon of light in the darkness. Go in peace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.